Living Water Production.
Oh, now it's about to be story time.
No. So it wasn't today, but it was yesterday. The memory came back on my feed about you saying if you don't like water, then you don't like Jesus, because Jesus is the living water.
That on church. Good morning, afternoon, evening, everybody. My name's RJ. We're here with an episode of the Committed Podcast today. We're going to be talking with two of my very close friends, Dania and Jerome.
Well, I'm Jerome. I'm a daycare teacher by day, a drummer by night. I'm 26 years old. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody.
Hallelujah!
Yeah. I felt that in my son enough. All right.
Run.
Well, I'm Dania. I am 26. I'll be 27 this year. I am a preschool teacher. I lead worship at the Ramp Church Richmond.
Fastest growing church in Richmond.
Fastest growing church.
Yes, it is.
Where we connect people to God, His Word, and His people.
That's right. And we do it well.
And we do it well.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me today. This was very impromptu. I think Jerome called me, was like, "What are you doing Thursday?" And I said, "Well, right now I'm at the office. You want to pull up?" And he said, "Sure, why not?" And then Dania ended up here too. And here we are. So today, we're going to talk about life, complain a little bit, and then figure out how we're going to make it through some of our problems. But talk about one situation individually that you've gone through in the past, like 6 months or more recent, that like you had to like really lean on God for. So something relating to either like your job or trying to like develop yourself as a person so that you can get to like the next place you want to be.
Okay. I would say harboring things within my heart. I can say that. And actually keeping a pure heart. So being the fact that I have, you know, the gift of discernment, I'm pretty sure a lot of people have the gift of discernment. We could see something about somebody, and then eventually, of course, their actions will match up to what we saw. Mm-hmm. And it can change your heart.
Yeah.
It can like alter your heart in a way, contaminate it a little bit. And so it's like, then you start deeming all people. Well, man, like, that's why I can't provide trust in people, period. Like, I keep getting hurt all over again. You try to give them the benefit of the doubt and stuff like that. And so God's been really dealing with me when it comes to, like, keeping my heart pure. I'll say that. And it's been a rough journey. It's a lot of hurt and people that I have to, like, learn how to truly forgive.
Yeah.
I was just talking to somebody the other day about it and saying how, like, even if you don't mean, like, you forgive them, still say it until your spirit and your heart catches up with your words, because it will happen. Because I remember in the bathroom one day, I was like, you know, I forgive such and such. Didn't mean it. Mm. And I just kept saying it, like, every day because I wanted to be free and I didn't want to keep, like, holding something against them, and it's not doing anything but hurting me.
Right.
And so I kept like saying it every single day until eventually, like, I was in prayer and I was like, nah, like, I genuinely forgive them and I wish the best for them. And I had to call them up and actually they apologized to me.
That's rare.
So yeah, no. So like I was, it God really worked that out. So he's still doing a heart thing with me. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually was on Instagram earlier today and I saw a reel from Bishop Sheard, Presiding Bishop of the Church of God in Christ. I saw he was talking to his wife and he was talking about forgiveness. So it's really kind of timely. But he was like, forgiveness doesn't always mean that you're going to be in good standing with that person. It doesn't always have to mean that you're in good standing with that person after the fact. You know, like, forgiveness is like wiping the slate clean, right? It's like giving you a brand new slate. But he was like, you know, when you forgive somebody, it's like you're learning that person all over again.
Yeah.
It's not like you're, you know, just giving them a clean slate to start back over where they were.
Yeah.
And sometimes that results in not having that same kind of relationship with that person after that.
Yeah.
So that kind of helped.
That's
okay. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. So.
And I think another thing also is, like, I don't have to know all the details of what you did to me, like, that I don't know about. Mm. Because true healing is, I don't care about the details, mm-hmm. but I forgive you anyhow.
Yeah.
Like, because if you open up, like, you know, well, I did do this and I did do that and you didn't know about it, that's opening up new wounds. We don't need that.
Yeah.
We really don't. That's going to make the healing process take even longer. You really don't need that. So, yeah. Yeah. That's good. My spiel.
That's heavy. All right, Rome.
I had to get my patience right.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. If I had to pinpoint something, it's probably my patience.
Mm-hmm.
I am a person that unfortunately does not like to deal with people.
I don't blame you.
And I have a drive that I have. And I think one thing I had to realize, I got to stop expecting everybody else to have my drive.
Mm.
It was a very sobering moment when I figured it out. Because I realized every time I expected somebody to, you know, handle something the way I would handle it, I was always disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm perfect, but, you know, when you have a drive and you care about, you know, something that you're doing or something you're trying to get done or a goal that you have set for yourself, and unfortunately you got to rely on other people in some aspects, and, you know, they might not do it to their best potential.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's not, it's not their...
It's not something they're passionate about. Yeah.
So...
What would you say you had to, like, go through in order to get to that point? Like, what would you say that process was like?
I think I woke up and was like, you know what? No, I can't expect everybody to
think the way you
think the way I do. So I guess I got to extend grace.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm the same way, because, like, I want things to be done a certain way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, that's part of the reason why I've been so scared to, like, hire people. Because it's like, I know I'm going to want it done a certain way. I know that I'm going to want, like, a certain level of quality. And I don't have a problem teaching people, right? But, you know, I want to make sure that everything that's going to have, like, Sankofa Studios' name on it is going to be, like, it's going to be to that quality. But, you know, nonetheless, I think it's the same thing of, like, giving people grace and, like, meeting people where they are and saying, like, well, hey, like, if you need help with this, just let me know, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To add to that, When you shut people out and you choose not to rely on anybody because you when you shut people out and you choose not to rely on people, you're only making the workload harder for yourself,
right,
and you're putting too much on yourself.
Right.
So that was another thing I had to realize.
And also going back to what you were saying, like, you know, you don't like dealing with people, because I always say that. And to be honest, like, I sometimes have that old mindset when things happen and people show me who they are.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but to be transparent, a lot of times I'll be like, man, I can't stand it. Like, I'm so sick. Like, so, but the whole time I'm people.
Yeah.
But I do have to stop speaking that out of my mouth, because I'm called to people and I can't work with people that I say that I hate.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
words, man, they can go far.
Words be wording.
Yeah.
I feel the same way, though. Like, being in, like, a service industry, like, and a little background about me, like, I've always been in, like, customer service, retail, like, sales kind of jobs, like, full time. Like, ever since I was, like, 16. So now we're talking about, like, almost 10 years. And I remember, like, my first job was working as a cashier at Walgreens. And I did that for, like, just over two years. And I, now mind you, my Walgreens was, like, in South Richmond, like, in Southside. Like, it's not...
Jesus.
Yeah.
I think I know which one it was.
Yeah, the one on Hall Street.
Yep.
So,
God bless you.
Yeah, and I worked holidays while I was in high school, weekends, all that stuff. And it was interesting.
Wait, not the one on Warwick.
Hall Street and Warwick. Yeah, by the laundromat. Used to be a Blockbuster stuff.
God bless you, man of God.
Mm-hmm. And I was working at 16, 17, 18, till I left for college. That was my only job I had at home. But it was tough, because you would encounter so many different types of people with so many different problems. You know, in hindsight, I see that, like, there were so many hurting people around me that didn't understand how to interact with people, like, in a natural, like, kind of way. And it made me grow to, like, dislike my people. Because you realize the type of people that you're around most of the time when you're in those environments is your people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I kind of had to unlearn that. And I was almost kind of, like, forced to unlearn it when I got to college. Because I went to William & Mary. You know what I mean? It's a culture shock. Like, you get there and it's like, there are only like 20 people that look like you at the whole school, and like you know all of them by name. Like it's just like you know you have
hey,
to
Jared.
Yeah, like you can see them a mile away. You know exactly what they look like. You don't have to see their face. You know it's done by their silhouette because it's black, and it's just you know it was a mess. It was hard, but you know even now like I went from PWI to HBCU. Now I'm at Union, and it's like everybody look like me, and like everybody shares like similar experiences, and this is like. Now I'm learning how to fall in love with the same people that I once, you know, had disdain for. Mm-hmm. And it's full circle. And sometimes, like Jerome said, like, it hurts sometimes. You know, kind of trying to see, like, you know, dang, I really treated people this way. I really, like, you know, seeing people trying their best to do what they could with what they had. And I looked down on them.
Mm-hmm. That's good that you had that self-awareness, though.
It wasn't self-awareness. People told me off.
Well,
I got cussed out quite a few times.
But you know what? I still count it as you being aware, at least. True. I wouldn't say self-awareness then for that, but aware.
Yeah, and it was like, it wasn't something that happened overnight for me, I could say. Like, it was, like, all throughout high school and college and even, like, recently, you know, like, I'm still having experiences where I'm talking to people and I'm like, dang, like, I went through something very similar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Pastor Bruce says it all the time, too. It's like, you know, sometimes you're just one decision away from ending up like somebody else. And I can personally say that, like, especially in the case of me being patient with people and forgiving people, like, there were so many times where I was, like, one decision away from, like, burning a bridge that I needed later or, like... you know, underestimating a relationship with somebody that could have been very productive for me. I'm grateful that you know, I kind of went through that process too. Mm-hmm. I'm still going through it, but
yeah, we're all going through it. Okay, I have a question. What do you think God has exposed you to, like last year and this year?
Oh Lord,
yeah.
Oh man, that is a loaded question.
That's a question.
What has God shown me?
Or exposed you to.
Exposed me to. He's actually showed me a lot about myself. He's shown me that I'm resilient. Ooh. I'm resilient.
I might dance for you.
There's a lot of stuff that I've, you know, had to deal with personally that I've had to overcome in the past, like, year. Just since January. What month are we in? We're about to be in March. Since February. Because I'm actually about to reach... my 1 year anniversary at my job next week.
That's crazy. Yeah, you so sure. That's crazy.
The 1 year of us meeting. Oh man, that's crazy.
Backstory,
we can't get distracted, but go ahead.
Backstory for everybody that's listening to
this is history.
I actually met Jerome on his birthday. So his birthday was not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before. And I met Jerome. We were at the men's group. We were at
Kickback Jacks.
No, it was Golden Crow. We were at Golden Crow for brunch.
Well, yeah, then.
Ew. That's when I met. So I met Jerome at the men's Golden Corral lunch. I came late.
We had Golden Corral for breakfast and then Kickback Jacks for dinner.
Oh, yeah, the same day.
Stomach was
no
fried.
Yeah, stomach. and so here's the problem with that, right? So I was actually fasting during that time.
I just told you the problem.
And I pulled up to them at Golden Corral and didn't eat anything. Like I had 5 cups of coffee.
I remember that.
I had 5 cups of coffee, no cream, no sugar, and just. Sat there.
It's crazy because that goes back to the question. One thing God exposed to me was, I feel like I'm called two children.
Yeah.
In this past year. First of all, we're talking about patience. Like, this has showed me how to be patient. This has absolutely showed me how to be patient.
Yeah.
Like, because first of all, I have 4 and 5 year olds.
My God.
And I'm pretty sure any adult that has a 4 and 5 year old, I just want y'all to know, if you have 1 4 and 5 year old, imagine having a roster full of 14 of them.
More grace. Okay.
I have 14 4 and 5 year olds. It'll be 17 in 2 weeks. But it's just like, you know, I've learned how to work with them. They moved me from classroom to classroom. Like, for instance, I was in there with the toddlers today.
Mm.
And it's one thing it's doing is just showing me what type of father I want to be and what type of father I don't want to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a good thing. And I don't know. You know, the kids, you build a connection with the kids and they really, really like. I had a kid go home for Christmas and ask for a drum set for Christmas.
That's powerful.
That is powerful.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, y'all haven't even heard me play. I mean, I showed them little clips, but like, y'all haven't even heard me, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and just to, you know, they go home and all they talk about is the stuff I'm teaching them.
Yeah.
But what else? Because I'm just going down the list of things God has shown me about myself in the year. Because it's been so much. It's been an eventful year.
This year, this last year's been.
He's showing me how. He's definitely showing me how to be a better steward of my money. That's a good one. Oh my God. While we're talking about being young, like, just the down to the simple stuff, like food. Like, thankfully, I can eat with the kids, eat at the daycare, so I've gotten real serious about that. And
applesauce,
literally carrots. Applesauce, cafeteria pizza.
My kids had brunch yesterday.
What'd they have?
I told Jerome, I said they had waffles, they had eggs with cheese.
They
and
took
ones
come
without
the kids
they
out
had
to brunch.
Ham. And he was just like, oh wow.
Y'all be
and then I said, they did not have all that.
Yes,
all
they did.
Had,
y'all took them kids. Y'all took them
all
kids.
All they had was waffles. They had little sausages.
Y'all gave them orange juice with the little sparkling grape juice.
No, they had tater tots.
Just say you took them to brunch. You took them to brunch.
That's all.
You should have gave them some orange juice with a little splash of Sprite in it.
A little splash of Sprite. They thought it was a mosa. What you mean?
A mosa.
Fake mosa.
No.
Store brand mosa.
No.
Great
no,
value.
First of all,
and then we have to lay them down for nap after that.
They would have slept like man.
They would have been running on the walls and everything.
But
so
no, what's your answer to your question that you just asked?
RJ didn't even answer.
RJ, what is one thing God has shown you about yourself?
God has shown me over the course of the past 2 years. Oh, wow, he showed me a lot. He's really faithful. God has shown me more about himself than he's shown me about me. Mm. God is really faithful to perform everything that he says he's going to do. This past, I say 12 to 18 months has really been how capable I am of doing the things that God has given me the dreams to do. Mm-hmm. So doing things like running a space like this and being able to, you know, invite people and have real conversations about real stuff. And do my work in a place that's not my bedroom and, you know, be able to interact with people, meet people that are, you know, from all different kinds of walks of life and things like that. It's a blessing. And it's not something that I take lightly, but, you know, God has shown me so much in terms of, you know, the vision for Sankofa Studios and, you know, having that one-stop shop for everybody. You know, whether you're a musician or you're a singer, you're a poet, you're you know, a business owner, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is that you want to do, we have something here for you. Mm-hmm. And being able to provide a safe haven, a community space for people to come and do what they do best and let, you know, our staff, you know, help you take care of everything else. Like, let us help you take care of the legal stuff. You don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You focus on your music.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's the goal. That's what my dream is. And God has given me a dream, but he's also showing me even now that he's able to put people in my path like y'all. He's able to put, you know, people with money that's going to help me, you know, kind of realize and visualize this thing, make it actually a real thing. You know, he's putting people in my path and even recently I made a phone call to commercial realtor that I was trying to buy real estate off of Sims Avenue, about mm-hmm. 20 minutes away from here, 15 minutes away from mm-hmm. here. And I had a vision about this time last year that God was going to give me a seven acre property for $15 million.
Mm.
Called those people. They said that they're asking $30 million for their 7 acres. I said, okay. I said, well, God, either you're going to give me the 30 or you're going to bring it down to 15. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to give me the 15 so we can take care of it. So, you know, but God is slowly and surely showing me that he's still, you know, capable of doing it. And I'm really grateful for that. I told Jerome this earlier. I told Devon this last week. For those that listen to this, go back and listen to episode 1 of season 1 because we're going to talk about some of the same stuff in a second. But I told God, I was like, I'm feeling really stuck. I told y'all, I was like, I've been feeling stuck these last couple months. I feel like, you know, all of the vision and stuff that I've had, all of the dreams and things, like, I feel like I know what to do, but don't have the how. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Don't have necessarily the money to do it, or don't have the time to do it, don't have the manpower to do it, but I have the strategy. Sure. You know? And it's in these times where I have to remember that, like, God's shown you everything. You just have to be faithful and sit with it for a minute until, you know, things start to line up.
Yeah.
So
I would say that what God has exposed me to is that I am more capable of doing certain things than I thought. Because now, and God actually, like, exposed, well, of course, but God,
yeah.
God said this to me as far as like thinking about my gift like a tree. You have the gift itself, and then there are many branches to that gift.
Yeah.
So, like, do it all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I put it in you, so just go ahead and do it all. And once I started, like, having the faith to actually put my hand towards it.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, man, you start shocking yourself. So, yeah, I think I could. That's one of the things.
Yeah. That's good. So, I wrote a Bible study. What's the date on this? March of last year. It's called Identifying the Planting, right? So it talks about Mark chapter 4, right? It's the parable of the sower. But the verse that stood out to me, I don't even think it's in Mark 4, but he says, to some he gives seed, to some he gives to water, so that God may provide the increase. Mm-hmm. That's what I heard when I heard you explaining that. Like, it's yeah. like you think about certain seasons that we find ourselves in life, and how sometimes, you know, you'll be in one season where your gift is truly exposed to you, like mm-hmm. the necessity of it all, you know, knowing that, you know, it's actually needed by people.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily being watered there. It's not like, you know, it's being utilized and used in that space.
Yeah.
But then God takes you to another season where it's like, okay, well, now this gift is really being used and I'm seeing it.
Right.
And then God provides the increase. He elevates you, takes you to a new level. And, you know, I'm going to release this Bible study. I'm in the process of
it. Like, are we waiting?
Yeah.
I mean, I already got stuff out. People don't read it or whatever, you know, but I'm kidding. I'll send out stuff that I got, but,
oh my gosh.
I got some stuff out there. Series I did called Becoming. It's the journey of the Christian entrepreneur. I released that.
People need to hear that.
I released that back in January. And then this series, there's one more part that I need to write a year later. There's one more part I need to write. It's called The Season for Accelerated Growth. That's the name of the series. Mm. And it's not actually based on Mark 4, but it's actually based in Psalm 92. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. I wrote the paraphrased version in this, but yeah, it's really in depth. But it talks about, you know, the three parts are identifying the planting, the pains of growth, and the full grain. So yeah, it's pretty good. Maybe I'll let y'all read this offline. Y'all can read this. It starts at the bookmark, I think.
And I think it's amazing how God continues to bring all things together, because the words, like, okay, so this is how my mind works. Mm. Like, this is how me and God work.
Take your time, dog.
He'll drop a certain word mm-hmm. in my mind, and I have to go and research and pray and figure out what this word is. And so, like, for example, one time it was haberdasher. I'm like, okay, why do I keep hearing?
Very random.
Yes, very random. Yeah. But then once I started doing research, it connected to something that he wanted me to find out.
Mm.
And so what keeps popping up in my head for this season is, like, tilling the ground and cultivating.
You don't like that. I pointed at the notebook. You're gonna like that a lot. Because I've been hearing the same thing, and that's why I think that Bible study series is so timely, because, you know, there. I think it's, this is gonna be crazy when I say it. I think it's ironic that us as humans came from dirt, because we constantly have to be tilled.
Oh yeah, that's good.
And there are so many different types of soil in our bodies. Not it's crazy, because, like, right, we're made out of like 30% carbon or whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
Nitrogen, all of these things that are literally found in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you think about it, your heart is a garden. Mm-hmm. Your mind is a garden. Your body is a garden.
Mm-hmm.
You have to till these things. You have to destroy them and rebuild them
and uproot some things
every season.
Yeah,
every season. So I talk about that too. It's literally like within that book, it's like maybe like 10 pages, but No.
This is a nice notebook.
Thank you. It's, what's the brand?
It's okay. I'll find it out.
The
Moleskine.
Moleskine. Yeah, that one. That notebook was like $20. It's outrageous. Target, Barnes & Noble. But they're nice. I really like them. Yeah, but it's important to understand that your soil has to be tilled. And I feel like in this season, even my soil is being tilled, like, vigorously. Like, like aggressively being tilled. Yeah. Like, I mean, like,
yeah.
In such a way that it's, like, almost disruptive when something is uncovered. Like, everything stop.
Mm-hmm.
What just happened? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know? But it's never been in a way that's been detrimental or negative or, you know, even like the negative things that were exposed in my life were just like, it's not that, it is a big deal, but it's not like, you know, it's not so detrimental that, you know, you can't recover from it, or it's not so detrimental that, you know, you don't learn anything from it. It's mm-hmm. just like, it's just yeah. negative, and it just hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always good too, but.
Yeah, I think it's funny how also in scripture we're always, not compare, but it's not the word that I'm looking for, but I'm just use it, compare to trees. So, mm-hmm. Like we should be planted.
Yeah, like Psalms everywhere.
Yeah, like a tree. And then also when God was healing the blind man,
mm-hmm.
and he said that the people looked like trees.
People look like trees.
First of all, I want to know, how do you know what trees
look like? I don't know.
Look like, and you were blind. Or maybe it was a
was
type
he always
of,
blind?
There are theories. Now, I'm going to be a...
But look, at the same time, I might need to go back and read.
I'm about to say, you the one at Union.
I'm going to be a theologian real quick.
Teach us.
There are theories, right, that the blind man that Jesus healed was partially blind at birth.
Mm. Yeah.
And there are theories that he lost his vision due to an illness that he had, like a genetic illness that he had.
Okay.
There are theories that he was colorblind.
Mm-hmm.
There are theories that he was, you know, like extremely farsighted and could only see silhouettes. Like, you know, there are many theories, you know, out there, and, you know.
Yeah.
But it's Bible, so none of them theories should really matter.
Yeah. So,
but you know, yeah. So there are theories that it's like, you know,
blind from birth.
Yeah, he was blind from birth, and he, so that's another thing too. I think our stereotypes really shape how we view the Bible. A lot of people think that just because you're blind doesn't mean that you can't see anything. Like you just see black.
Yeah.
But a lot of people that are legally blind can see silhouettes of things.
Yeah, definitely.
And they just can't see details and can't see colors and mm-hmm. can't see like certain things. Mm-hmm. So I think like, you know, I think sometimes our stereotypes do get in the way.
Much how we read the word. A lot of times we read it blindly and not.
Yeah.
But hey. But yeah. Yeah, I think it's amazing how we're always compared to trees. And the fact that you were saying like we need to be cultivated and tilled and snipped in places mm-hmm. as well.
Gotta get trimmed.
Gotta get trimmed. Make sure that you have your maintenance check.
That's yeah. So, and you know, that's fasting and prayer and maintaining prayer worship life and all that stuff.
You know, I've seen a video and somebody was I think they took a piece. You know how people like to take pieces and clips of sermons and they run with
so
it.
Much,
I
bro.
Can't stand it, and I want to go back and just read, like, look
have
at the
you
whole
ever
thing.
Been swallowed up, swallowed.
What? I wonder what that sermon was like.
No, but I did see like a good chunk of that. It was actually like good. But no, so it was Mike Todd, and he was talking about how we don't need to fast. It's not like in the walk, you can be saved, but like you don't have to like fast. And then somebody was like, I going back to the scripture of like when Jesus was talking to the disciples and he said, these kind come from, right. Come out by prayer and fasting. And I'm like, to be honest, you don't. like, you don't have to, but
you should want to.
You should want to.
Right, yeah.
You should want to. Just like, you don't have to pray, but you should want to. That's the connection thing. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you can't say that you know Jesus without knowing Jesus, him.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you're going to completely know him altogether.
Right.
What's the, like, you know, what would you want to, like, how can I word this? You can't worship something that you know all about. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And so. And that's, I think, the Pastor Bruce said this, Bishop Young said this one time. Like, you don't have to have the Holy Ghost. Like, I mean, technically you do, right? When you get saved, you accept
you
the fullness of the Godhead.
Yeah.
Right? But to want to have the full activation of the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. like, you don't necessarily have to have that.
Mm-hmm.
You should want it, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should want something that has the same ability to fight the evil that's in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And have full access to that.
You need it.
You need it. You need it to go to Walmart.
You needed to go to Walmart.
You need to go to Walmart. Yeah, really, in Walmart in Richmond. Like, you really need to go to Walmart. <It's crazy. laughs> But, yeah, we got to do this again. This is so fun.
Yeah, we do.
A prepared version, yeah.
Yes, an actual prepared version.
Yeah, because this was impromptu.
But it was good. It was still good.
Yeah.
Good.
All right, well, thanks for joining us tonight, Jerome and Dania. I love y'all. I care about y'all deeply, man.
Yeah,
I would do anything
too,
for you. You know, I'm excited to see what God is doing in y'all's lives. I'm excited to be a part of it. And I'm thankful for y'all. I really am. I don't know where I'd be without y'all.
Thanks, man.
But, well, thanks for joining us tonight for this episode of Committed. You know, join us next time. We're going to be talking about something. I don't. Who knows at this point?
We'll be talking about something.
You know,
it'll definitely be something.
Yeah, I'm going to, like, change the topics on all of, like, Pandora, Spotify. It's not going to be entrepreneurship. It's going to be life. We're just going to talk about life. But, yeah, stay committed, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.